Sup, sports fans, and welcome back to Low Expectations, the Gruter Golf Podcast, presented by the No Laying Up Podcast Network. Tonight, you've got Haley.
Hello.
Kiki.
What's up?
And me, Jen. So first of all, before we get to our very exciting guest, we have a few year-end announcements from the Gruter Golf team, which is us. The holiday hullabaloo got the best of us a little bit for the Jan Craig giveaway, so we haven't even announced the winner of that yet, but we will be announcing that. But that's only going to be one person. So if you're one of the many, many non-winners, the lucky thing is that you can actually sign up for a pre-order of the Jan Craig head covers. If you missed it on Instagram, the algorithm has been really weird lately. So just go to our page and check it out. They're adorable. They're like hand knit, small company, women owned. They have these little pom-poms on them. They remind me of Muppets. I really love them a lot. They're like little sweaters for your golf club. So you're going to want one. They come in, obviously, we got the driver, we got the wood, we got the hybrid. We got multiple colors, so head to grutergolf.com, check them out.
Also, we do, Jen, a quick note, though, we do also have some on sale on the website. So we have the pre-sale.
Oh, we still have some?
We still have some, yeah.
Oh, my God,
We have the driver in navy and green, and we have a few of the fairway and a few of the hybrids left.
Oh.
But they are running low. So once those do sell out, then you have the pre-order available. So really, we're covering like all of your bases here.
Yeah, so if you want one, you can get one, basically. Also, we have just received our new 2022 beanies that are pink. So that's honestly, that's the first pink thing we've ever made. It's very tasteful. You're going to love it. Those will be online soon. And we restocked our OG tees. So all in all, the merch palace is restocking. So make sure you're on the mailing list if you're not already. I'm assuming if you're listening to this, you probably are, but you might have been drawn in by our very exciting guest. So maybe you're hearing us for the first time. And if so, welcome to Gruter Golf and welcome to Tori Totless, who we are talking to tonight.
Hey.
Here she is. So we're so lucky because she's not only the Ringer Gross Champion of the Papago Women's Golf Association, but she also runs Compete Confidence Golf, which is so passionate about getting more women into the game and does a whole lot of things to accomplish that mission. We were, in our extensive research, finding just more and more resources for new golfers and female golfers alike. And I think we're going to get into all of that tonight. And in case you didn't realize, what I said before, if you're new to golf, if you're thinking about getting into golf, or if you know somebody who is thinking about getting into golf, this is the episode to like send to them. Just shoot a quick little text and be like, listen to this. And I think that they'll be hooked. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, et cetera, to you all. So first of all, Tori, we already said welcome, but let us know where you're calling in from tonight and make us a little bit jealous of the weather there.
Absolutely. I am calling in from Phoenix, Arizona. I was outside practicing for most of the day. It's a gorgeous day out there today. But yeah, I am born and raised from Rochester, New York. So I understand the winters very much. And I choose here.
And you're a smart lady. Yeah, you're the smartest woman I know.
And it's a lot easier to keep up your golf game when you can golf year round, too. I don't know how some of you guys do it, where you take half a year off. I sometimes feel like I take a week off and I don't know how to swing a club. So
it's so true.
It's helpful.
It's really hard. You just get bad all over again. That's what happens.
It's like relearning the sport every spring.
Yeah.
Or you just stay bad. No.
We just stay bad. Well, Tori, you only started playing golf 10 years ago, and it was after you had a daughter. So tell us a little bit about that, why you didn't start playing sooner.
So when I got pregnant with Lucy, I stopped working. So I, because I was planning on staying home, and I quickly realized that that wasn't for me. As far as staying home all day long, I had to go out and do something. So my mother-in-law would watch Lucy and I would escape to the driving range and I'd just hit balls. And that's really where it started, just hitting balls at the range. I went to a golf school, which was like a 3-day intensive where you're just there all day long and, you learn how to swing a golf club. And after that, I mean, I just kind of just grew from there,
Wow. Yeah.
And
so what?
Yeah. Once the kids start to get older and they start to, you know, be in school all day, you know, you do have enough time to golf. Absolutely. So,
yeah. Yeah. So what was your entry into the game like? Were you hooked immediately?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, like I come from a tennis and softball background. That's what I grew up.
I was
going to
ask that because I was like, you seem like an athlete.
Yeah. So the whole stick ball thing comes very natural to me. So, you know, every like 10th ball I'd hit pretty good at the range and it's like, okay, wait, that's like addictive. And then you go out on the course and it's just a whole nother level of having fun. You know, like the range is a lot of fun. And then you go out on the course and you're like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. It's so much fun. So I did get hooked right away. I started really playing because my husband at the time played a lot. And I was like, if I don't join him, and this was like in the beginning of our marriage, you know, when I'm still trying to like, you know, hang out. And so I'm like, if I don't join him, I go off and golf all the time. And so we would golf occasionally. And of course, now the roles are reversed. But I just
love that.
Loved it. Yeah. And my husband and we do love playing golf together. It's definitely, you know, it's been steady ever since. So.
Yeah. Have your kids gotten into golf?
You know, they've all tried it. All three of them have tried it. Some have played a little more than others. They just don't love it, you know, and golf takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of time and you really have to love it to be out there like hitting balls and grinding and wanting to get better. And they just didn't love it. So I'm not the kind of mom that's like, I can't make them do it. So they all kind of have their own other things, but
yeah, that's wise. Yeah.
That is wise.
They'll come to it at some point. I think if your mission succeeds, which is, you know, getting people into golf at any point in their lives, they'll find it at one point or another. Right.
I agree. Absolutely.
Fingers crossed at least.
Yeah.
I'm saying that from our own experience of finding it at the ripe age of 25. We want to talk a little bit about compete confidence golf. So how soon after you started playing, you know, did you come up with the idea for that?
So that was probably a couple of years in, I'd say. So I started hitting balls around 23. I really joined a ladies league and started keeping score and having a handicap when I was 28. And probably about 5, 6, 7 years of, you know, starting to play tournaments, getting better. I eventually plateaued and, you know, it was more like just playing as many rounds as I could, cause that's what's fun. And I didn't really want to practice. And then I started losing tournaments that actually meant something to me. And I went, you know, I was embarrassed sometimes, or I just thought I should win and I didn't. And I was like, okay, I need to do something. And I went to my teaching pro that I was seeing, and he I said, why don't you just write up a lesson plan for me? Like literally tell me what to do out in the practice facilities that I can just follow, like a plan. And he wrote it just on the back of a piece of paper, two different like session examples of exactly what I should do for about an hour. And I did that religiously. And I just like totally went off that plateau that I was on for years. And, you know, I really actually fell in love with practicing too. And just the, you know, it becomes addicting to see yourself getting better, you know, and that's the weird thing about golf is that you always have that handicap. Like you have this number that pretty much shows your progression, you know, and so because that worked so well, I was like, you know, I want to make more of a digital version of this. And I want it to be geared towards women. I want it to be really simple. I want it to be a plan where you can go out in the practice facilities in 30 minutes or less and get a really good practice session done. Like squeeze it in between appointments, do it right before you pick up the kids, you know, and that's why I made it. And really, I have gotten to where I am today based off of those just like 30-minute practice sessions that I can just fit in here and there, you know, because honestly, who wants to spend hours and hours out in the range? Or if you do, you're going to burn yourself out and not want to ever do it again.
Well, who has time for that either?
What'd you say?
Oh, I said you'll get blisters on your hands.
Oh yeah, no, totally.
And
oh, yeah,
you can't have that
all over. Yeah.
And I said, who has time for that? Who can spend, no, you know, multiple hours a day? I love the idea of, you know, spending 30 minutes an hour a day. I do have a lot more questions around practice and sort of our approach to practice, but I don't want to go any further without letting the listeners know what your handicap is, because I think they can probably already sense from you that you are a competitive golfer and you started out competing, which I think is very cool. So what is your handicap?
So my handicap right now is a 0.1.
Oh, what?
That's even a thing. 1.5.
That's,
wow, imagine 1.5. Wow.
Right now it's a 0.1. And that's why I laughed. So when you said,
can I just round down to zero?
I really want to, but I've never been to a zero. So I feel like I have to earn that, which, you know, after saying it out loud, I'll probably skyrocket back up a little bit and I'll work my way back down. But, when you said I was the 2020 Papago Gross Ringer champion or whatever, I mean, I had to laugh. I'm like, yes, I love that. I love that.
Well, we played there when we went out to Scottsdale, and it was, none of us kept score, but we had a great time.
Yeah.
Loved that there.
It was great. It's one of the best courses in Phoenix for sure.
It was beautiful.
It is.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was such a fun little place. So getting back to the compete confidence golf, I think, for me personally, and we've talked about it a bit amongst the three of us, I feel like practice is certainly, I'm deciding right now, actually, I know we're doing our wrap up pod next week, but I'm deciding right now that 2022 is going to be the year of practice for me personally, because on your website, you said a quote that I think really rings true for me and certainly my approach to golf for the last 4 years or so. On the website, you say, I needed to start training to become better instead of just banking on the fact that it would eventually happen. That's literally my pitch to people to start playing golf. I say, hey, you can play for the rest of your life. You don't have to rush to get good. You can take your time. However, I do realize that if you don't practice, you actually don't get better. Yeah. And that is the reality that I'm facing, that I'm coming to terms with. So I love your approach to practice. And you also just said it, you know, you have to enjoy the practice and fall in love with practicing in and of itself, which I think is great. So can you go into a little bit more about what the Compete Confidence Golf program is? I know it's a 6-week course. It sounds obviously very digital, but can you give the listeners a little bit more info into what it is and what it entails?
Absolutely. And just to piggyback off what you just said too, is not a lot of people do practice. So even if you put in the 30 minutes or just here and there, you're already like 20 steps ahead of everyone else you're playing with, you know, like, so even the women I play against and I compete with, like, I'd say probably less than 10% practice on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And I compete with them, you know, all the time. So it's, you know, they just like to just play rounds. And I understand that, or thinking that their practice session is their warm up before their round, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm a firm believer that they can't kind of mesh like that. But okay, the 6-week program. So it's actually good timing. 2022 is right in the beginning of the year. I go through this program in a small group setting with other women, because, you know, it's a lot more fun doing it with friends and people that also want to get better. It has 30 lessons in it, very short lessons with a pro in it. And it goes from putting speed to chipping stance and ball location and how to read greens and, you know, how to use alignment sticks in the range. So all different, but really simple lessons that you go through while doing a practice session at the same time. Okay. So we're going to have a lesson with this PGA pro, his name's Nick, and he's going to teach you a few things. And then you're going to have a practice session that goes along with it. And each practice session is 3 different drills, and you just set your timer for 10 minutes. You do the drill for 10 minutes and then you go to the next drill. And it's literally, you know, 30 minutes and you're in and out, and there's 30 different practice sessions. It's made to do 5 days a week, so it ends up being around 6 weeks. But when I do this program with my accountability group at the beginning of each year, I actually allow 8 weeks to get it all done. And, you know, it's a lot of fun doing it together. And like I said, just a little bit of practice makes such a huge difference. I know it sounds corny and not believable, but even with just your short game, you can improve so much on your touch and feel with just a little bit of consistent practice, you know? So
there's only one way to go from here for me personally. So I can only imagine even just holding a golf club, I think 5 days a week, just putting it in my hands would make a big difference.
So true.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So dumb question. So it is a digital virtual training program.
Yes. And, okay. You know, you can obviously watch it and look at it on a computer or an iPad, but you can also use the app on your iPhone so that you can literally do it all right on the range.
Wow.
And you just go through it. And then we also have workbooks that you can use to track your sessions. So you can make notes on what you're doing, or even like, let's say you're doing a drill where you are chipping it to a certain target. You can make notes on how many times you hit that target. You know, it's kind of like a workbook slash journal. It's spiral bound because it has to be spiral bound. I mean, you don't want a paperclip situation going on. You know, it is made to do right out there on the practice facility.
Yeah.
You know,
cool. That's great. And that it is for women only?
I mean, I made it for women. I made it for women recreational golfers.
Yes.
You know, that's who I made it for. Can men do it? Absolutely, they can do it. But I'm always talking to the female golfer. That's who I'm talking to and working with. So
that's great.
I have a question. How many different like pros did you work with to make it, to develop it?
I know. I was floored to hear that you weren't a pro yourself. I thought that you were a golf pro basically because you're really good and you give great advice. So I was like, oh, she's definitely just like a pro golfer.
No, I'm not a teaching pro. So that's why I brought on Nick to do this program with me. So it's just Nick and I in this program, but all my other programs that I've done, like the beginner golfer program, that's with my buddy, Justin Klimbala. But Justin is really who I work with the most now because Nick moved out of town, but Nick did do that program with me. And actually Nick pretty much taught me everything I knew. Like I worked with Nick closely for 6 years and he taught me everything. So we have a good relationship. You can tell when you're doing the program.
I had one other question too. So is it just one program or is it a few different choices of different things?
So I have two different practice programs. The one you're talking about is the 6-week signature program, and that covers everything from irons to driver to woods to chipping to putting to bunker shots. So it's very well-rounded. It's, you know, it's quite intense, you know, and you get a lot out of it. Then I have my program called the Short Game 100 program. And that is just working your short game. And it's based off of, so I named it Short Game 100 because it's 100 balls a day and it's all shots 100 yards and in. Wow. And so it breaks down those 100 shots in 10 shot increments. So like for 10 shots, which are really like, if we start putting, you're going to do 10 20-foot putts, and then you're going to do 10 30-foot putts. And then you're going to go to the chipping green and do 10, 10 chips that are 10 paces off the green. You know, it's that specific, but you're getting in 100 swings a day and it's all on your short game.
Wow. That's really great. Yeah.
And that too is a very fun program. It's just a little easier to swallow sometimes when you just want to work on your short game and you also just want to plan, you know, you want to go to the range and actually have something you can follow so that you're not just like staring into abyss or just hitting your 9-iron 5 million times. You know, yeah. It's a plan where you finish after 30 minutes and you're like, okay, I feel good about that. I'm going to go home now. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So in talking with, you know, a bunch of women who might be at all different sort of parts of their golf journey, you know, what do you sort of look for, whether it's in their skills or personality or anything, to recommend a program? Like, do you ever recommend that somebody just takes full-on lessons first before doing something like your program? Like, is it a little bit too intense for somebody that's like a true beginner, has no idea what they're doing?
A true beginner, I'd probably go more towards the Short Game 100 book or program, excuse me, but it's never a replacement for lessons. So in my signature course, when I get these women together for our accountability group, I'll always say, let's get a lesson first before you start so that you know exactly what you want to work on the next 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then really the nice thing about it is you're going to get the lesson and then you're going to be held accountable to go practice. And that's the whole thing. You can get a lesson, but if you don't, like, if you're not in the mindset to go practice what you learned, that $150 goes right down the drain. Yeah. You know, I mean, golf lessons are expensive, and that's why I don't really get them so much throughout the year, because I have to tell myself, okay, if I'm going to go get a lesson, I have to commit to practicing consistently afterwards, or it's just a waste of time and money. So mm-hmm. usually before someone starts a practice program, I'll say, go get one lesson at least, you know, see what you want to work on, you know, make sure your form is heading in the right direction, and then dive right into the practice program, you know? And I bet you, you know, you'll revisit the pro after you're done with practice program, and it's going to be night and day for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real quick, can you tell us about the accountability group? It sounds like I need that.
So I always do it after the first of the year, obvious reasons because of the first of the year, but also this is actually when I really want to be out there practicing and grinding myself. My tournament season starts in the middle of February. So I kind of come out of New Year's thinking, okay, let's go. Let's hit a lot of balls. Let's stay focused. Let's do what we can to go to the next level. And so if I'm going to be out there doing it, and really this, it makes me accountable to other women too, you know, when I have them doing it with me also. So that's why I always do it after the first year, because the timing's really well for me. And, we meet once a week on a Zoom call, and we kind of go over what we're doing well with, what we're struggling with. It's their opportunity to do a question and answer with me. And we just go through the program together, you know? So there's 5 practice sessions to do in week 1. So we hope that everyone does it in their time. And some days you have to do 2, you know, I mean, every week is different. But our plan is to get those 5 sessions done within that first week. And we just go through it week by week.
Wow.
Love it.
Yeah.
Wow.
We should maybe do something similar, you guys.
I mean, I think we
our own accountability group.
I know, exactly. I mean, and also just one more quick question about the program. Is all you need a range in order to participate, or is it, you know, is there anything else that you need, you know, to
Yeah, to you do the definitely program? Need a putting green, and you need a chipping mm-hmm. area. So as long as you have that and a bunker, a practice bunker. So if you have a good practice facility, mm-hmm. then you're good to go. But yeah, wow. I mean, I'd love to say that women can do it, you know, in the winter inside or at a simulator. I'd be lying if I stood behind
that. Yeah, it's just not the same, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if going to a simulator is your only option, then do it. Because at least you're swinging a club, you know? But it's just too hard. When you can't work on your short game, it's tough. It's tough.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So just kind of back to, you know, working with beginner golfers. So, cause you do in-person stuff too, right? You're not just only doing the online program. So, how do you find pros and courses to work with that are like, you know, accepting and welcoming of beginner female golfers?
Yeah, so I am just starting to get in the beginner golfer event arena. And honestly, I will just go to where I'm comfortable, which is Papago. Mm-hmm. So that's my only experience so far. But they're extremely welcoming. Papago loves women's golf. They love beginner's golf. They support us. And so I kind of go there because I can, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You really have to find an environment and a director of golf that really embraces women's golf and really embraces beginner's golf, because, you know, golf is very popular right now, you know, space and tee times and practice facilities are hard to come by. So if you don't have someone behind the scenes that's really embracing women's golf, it's not going to be a pleasant experience, you know, to try and get out there, unfortunately.
For sure. Yeah.
I actually wanted to ask you a little bit about kind of like what the golf scene is like in kind of the Phoenix area. You know, are there a ton of women when you go out? Are they mostly with you? You know, who do you usually play with? How do you find new people to play with? And how do you kind of like find your golf, you know, community? If you're in a, you know, a new city, or if you're in Phoenix.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let me tell you, when I joined a ladies league, okay, when I was 28, everything changed. Everything mm-hmm. changed. I mean, I met friends that I know I will have forever through being in a ladies' league. And it's just an amazing community. And that's really what drives me now, because you really don't see a ton of our community out there in what golf media is, you know, what the pictures look like. Okay. So, I just adore our community, and I always encourage beginner golfers, like, all right, your goal is to join a ladies' league. That's your goal. Whether it's 9 holes or you want to jump right into 18 holes, that's your goal, because that's where it all changes. That's when you start playing and keeping score, and you establish a handicap, and you can play in fun tournaments, and you meet friends. I mean, it's just a total game changer. It's a total game changer. So that is something I feel very passionate about with beginner golfers, because they feel, you know, like it's a scary thing and they don't know when they're ready to join a ladies league. You're ready. Trust me. There's always options out there. And if you are in a new, if you're in a new city, or if you're just starting to play, you just have to go to your golf courses that are around you that you like to play. And you ask the pro shop, hey, is there a ladies league here? Is there a group of women that play once a week? Do you have a name? They'll give you the name. They'll say, okay, contact Susan. Here's her phone number. You know, start there. And trust me, and your first day's scary and you might cry.
Did you cry?
I cried my first day.
Why?
No, but meaning because it was just like, it was nerve wracking, and I thought I was going slow, and I didn't want to hold anyone up, and they were, you know, they were more experienced than me. You know, if you think you're not going to like feel like you don't belong, well, that's not the case. You're going to feel like you don't belong. You're going to feel like you're not good enough. That's just the uncomfortable part about it. But you have to just get through that, you know, and then you'll soon realize, you will very soon realize, well, that was silly. That was silly, you know, and pace of play does not matter as far as, or excuse me, pace of play does matter, but your ability, your level of golf play does not. You can be any level golfer and keep up pace of play. And I find that's what women are most nervous about when joining a ladies league, is doing that. So if you're new to an area, or if you're new to golf, you just go to whatever golf course you like going to, and you just ask the pro shop. They know if there's a ladies group, they will know, and they will tell you who to contact.
And that's great advice.
That is good to know.
That might be one of my resolutions, maybe, is joining a little league of some sort.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be fun.
Like a morning. Somebody told me, I forget who it was now, but somebody said that they started playing like in the morning. There was like a league that met up at like, you know, like 7 a.m. or something. So it was like 9 holes before work. And I was like, well, I mean, we won't talk about my other resolution, which is being more positive in the morning, which we'll get to next week, because I'm very negative.
Don't play golf in the morning, please.
Jen might not make any friends.
I feel like, Jen, the morning ladies league may be coming 2023.
Okay. First, we'll start with positivity in the morning. But okay, joining a league, though, I think that's something – and I feel this actually feeds into our next question for you, which is about kind of just like women in golf. But we find that like women are just a lot more critical of their own skill level than like a beginner man is, for example. Oh, yeah. You know, like I've played with guys who have just started playing, but they were like, you know, they played sports when they were growing up. And so they're like way more confident. And we see beginner females all the time that are just like nervous wrecks, you know, because you really feel like you're holding people up and, you know, everyone's watching you and they're annoyed with you. When really most of the time it's other male groups that are holding people up and that are less concerned with pace of play and therefore playing a lot slower and taking 50 practice swings and like being super annoying.
When you just said male beginner golfer, I was laughing because it was like, I don't think I've ever met a man that's considered himself a beginner golfer.
Right.
They just like go out there and they think they're a 10 handicap right off the bat. So that's very funny, but they never
admit to being a beginner golfer.
No,
you know, they just kind of slide right in and everyone assumes
they played baseball in high school. Okay, they know what they're doing.
Super similar.
as they go through 12 balls and slice it off the tee every time. They know exactly what they're doing.
the beginner male golfer borderline does not exist.
No,
it doesn't. That's why we have women.
Yeah. Another 2022 goal, find the beginner male golfer.
Expose them.
But also, don't forget that there's Twilight Leagues, too. I know you said there's 7-8. Okay. There's tons of nine-hole leagues.
Well, I was going to say
– like three.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, Jen, too, like our five-iron league – I mean, there's not a five-iron in Boston, but our five-iron league, I mean, is a ladies' league. True. It's just a simulator league. But, and it's so fun. It's great. It really is.
So you're also, we want to talk a little bit about the events because we're really very devastated that we can't make it to the Desert Classic next year because it seems like a really, really cool event. But before we get into the details of that, we want to know a little bit, we get asked a lot, you know, why do you do women's only events? And we always just talk about kind of like the intangible specialness of, you know, a ladies only event. I'm wondering if you have like similar feelings or how you describe, you know, the energy at a women's event versus, you know, a co-ed event or just like a normal golf event.
Oh my God, 100%. I'm all for women only events. I've actually thought about, so I do retreats too. And I've thought, you know, maybe I'll do a couples retreat and I'm just envisioning how that looks. And it's just completely different when you have men around, you know, it's just, and especially when it's your spouse too. I mean, it's just a totally different dynamic. I love these women's only events. I love bringing women together, whether it's on a retreat or at a tournament, and they just let loose. Like they're, first of all, doing something that they love, which is playing golf. That like brings them joy. And then they get off the golf course and they're having their cocktails, they're dancing, they're meeting new people. They're just enjoying life. Like it's a big party and it has nothing to do with men or any of that. Like we're just having a great time. And I can almost like a lot of, for the Desert Classic, there's tons of women coming from out of town and they're using it as a girls' trip. I mean, it's just, golf is such an amazing sport where you can travel and play and be outside. And there's just so much to golf. And yeah, I'm all for women's only events. And it's just so much fun. It's out of this world. So I'm excited.
No, the video from your last event looked like so much fun. A lot of dancing, a lot of just kind of like just joy overall. But tell us a little bit about the Desert Classic. I know when we spoke, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you were saying that, you know, women's events often aren't given the same kind of like almost pomp and circumstance and like swagginess of, you know, events that are mostly male. So can you talk a little bit about that and just, you know, what you're trying to do with the Desert Classic and events like it?
Absolutely. So when I just started playing golf and I was like around, you know, I'm at a country club and the women have their 3-day member guest and it's beautiful and it's a great event. But then a couple weeks later, the men have their invitational and it's not 3 days, it's 5 days. And it's just this, I mean, it's just this massive event, massive. And I'm like, wait, why don't you have all this stuff for the women? Not that we want 5 days. Women don't want 5 days.
That's crazy. How, which days of the week? All of them?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, when I first started playing, it was Tuesday all the way to Sunday. They have narrowed it down.
But who's competing in that? Like, they just don't work that whole time?
Oh, no, they take it as like a full-on party week. Like, they take it in. But anyways, it's just tents and entertainers and music and just food galore. I mean, lobster. I mean, it's just insane. And I'm like,
wow.
Okay. And the whole club's pretty much shut down for these events. So I'm like, wait, well, why aren't the women's events this big? You know, why don't we have all this, like you said, pomp and circumstance and just gorgeous things all over the place? And they said, well, the women don't want that. The women don't want, there's no market for the women. You know, they don't want something that big. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever. So when I started kind of going into the retreat end of it, I'm like, you know what? I really want an annual tournament too. So I'm thinking of my long-term vision and I'm thinking, okay, I want you know, two retreats a year, and then I want one epic tournament in Phoenix. I want to show off my favorite public course, Papago in Phoenix, and I want to just have just this amazing women's golf tournament that's also an experience. And that's where it started. And it's gonna, you know, my goal is it to be the most sought after amateur women's golf event of the year, you know? And it's not just, even though golf is important, I also wanted it to be like a real golf tournament. You know, we are following rules. It's hand, you know, we have our handicap, there's net and gross prizes, there's day money, trophies, the whole nine yards, but we also have events at night, and we have great food, and we have great entertainers, and we have learning opportunities. You know, we have these great professionals coming in and doing these panels for us. I just wanted it to be a whole experience to where women can come in from out of town and just have an unbelievable golf experience in the best, wow, you know, in Scottsdale in March. I mean, it doesn't really get much better than that as far as golf weather is concerned. So
it honestly doesn't. We were there last April and we were sold. We were 1,000% sold on Scottsdale. Loved it so, so much.
When are you guys going to make it to the Phoenix Open?
That's, you know, that's the perennial question, honestly, Tori, because it's almost seemed like just such a natural fit for us. Like since we started playing, that was one of the first things we knew about, even really, right, was like in golf. Oh, you got to get there eventually. I don't know if I have the stamina for it anymore. I probably missed my prime of Phoenix Open. But you know, you never know. I think we talk about it every year.
It's quite the experience. I mean, you have to do it at least once, and you know, you just Friday and Saturday, and it's, yeah. And then usually it's Super Bowl Sunday and the following Sunday, and you just kind of crash. It's quite an event. It's quite an event. You got to do it.
I know it's definitely, it's on the, could be on the list for 2022. Who knows? We're getting our calendar together probably next week. So
yeah,
good.
We'll throw it on the short list. Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. I want to get into some of your Instagram content. Yes. That's a whole nother category.
And
whole
TikTok, chapter. You know how to do TikTok, which like, how did you figure that out?
So if you really want to know, I actually took a course on how to do TikTok.
What?
And it was this amazing course because it took me just like one morning to finish. And at the end of the course, she's like, okay, now go post your first TikTok. I'm like, okay. If you guys could see my first TikTok, it was of me shoveling gravel at my cabin on the driveway. And I made a TikTok out of it. And it's the most ridiculous thing, but it made me start. And I've been doing TikToks ever since. But I literally had to take a course on how to do it.
I didn't even know the courses existed.
Smart.
No, that makes me feel so much better, though, because like I didn't know people were doing that. And I was like, why can't I figure this thing out that Northwest can obviously master, you know, yeah, like, and she's six.
Yeah.
So I've been related to her TikTok lately. I've been obsessed with. This is fascinating stuff.
No, totally. And then Kim turns the comments off too, which I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely safe.
Yeah.
Thank God. She went live, actually, quick little segue. She went live for like, I think 30 seconds last week. She's like, we're live. Oh my God, we're not allowed to be. And then she like went into Kim's room. Kim's like chilling, watching TV in her like weird ass house. And it's like, oh my God, what? Get off right now. And then it's like, and like hangs up. And I was like, that was history right there.
That was amazing. Yeah,
somebody screen grabbed that. But anyway, I digress.
Good digression though, because another digression, I don't understand how can she even have a TikTok? She's too young.
Yeah.
Because those are illegal. It's part of, so I just get a lot of like Kardashian, like almost like thought pieces in my TikTok algorithm because I watch them all.
You're gonna call them thought pieces?
I don't know. No, there's this girl that I'm pretty sure is like a sociologist, and she's like, she examines like so many aspects of the Kardashian empire and like what they're doing when and like the reason that they're doing it. I mean, they're extremely calculated. So part of their power is like the multi-generational aspect. And so the kids are a part of that. You know what I mean? Because they were a part of Chris's original, you know, it was all built around family. Right. And so being able to see different levels of the family and like different age groups. Right. So you've got like Kim and Courtney and Chloe that are all kind of, you know, in the like 30s, 40s. And then you've got like Kendall and Kylie in the, you know, Gen Z era, but they need to kind of start building up the youngest ones now.
Who are six?
Well, North is six, but Penelope is what, like eight or something. And then what's the boy's name? Mason. Mason's got to be like 13 or something now. And he was on social media too, but this could become a Kardashian
podcast
if we're not careful.
Yeah, so let's bring it back.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
Let's bring it back to Tori. Let's bring it back to golf.
That's okay. I'm more of a housewives gal, but I do dip into the Kardashians every now and then. I mean, I know the players, but I'm more of a housewife gal myself.
Which housewives is your favorite?
So is Jen.
I don't discriminate. I watch them all, and I love every one of them.
Oh, my God.
Just the best mindless TV to watch while you're eating.
It's wonderful. It really is. It's a blessing. Salt Lake, like, we don't deserve it.
No.
I don't know what I did in my life to deserve Salt Lake City. But if listeners, if you have not seen it, you don't need a lot of people, like, my boyfriend is like, I never thought that this was good television, but you get, like, you can't help but watch it because you're just like, what? Like, what is your reality?
You have Nick watching. No, you have Nick watching.
Nick is obsessed right now. I'm watching I went back to the beginning of Vanderpump Rules, and I'm now on like season three, and he is all the way sucked in.
You're rewatching.
I was like,
it?
Listen, this girl slept with this girl's ex-boyfriend, and watch, she's lying right now. And because she's like, I swear on my mother's grave, we did not sleep together. And then like, it's like, two episodes later, it's like, okay, so I lied. And I'm like, that's amazing. Imagine the gall.
Reel it back in again. That white sweater.
We're coming back.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, Tori, tell us about your fascinating to know that you took a TikTok course.
Your
content in general is very engaging. It, you know, it's robust to say the least. Yeah. You have a huge catalog of different videos and whatnot online. And you know, chatting before we hopped on here, we're like, if we didn't play golf or know anything about you, like, we'd look at your page and be like, oh, that looks fun. I want to start playing golf. So I'd love to hear you just talk a little bit about it, how you approach, honestly, just like coming up with different content, how you approach coming up with that content and creating it and sort of your whole mission in creating that stuff.
Absolutely. So again, at the core, it's all about showing off our community and, you know, getting us out there and really all my content's based off of my experience, you know, like anything like yesterday I posted something about, you know, when you're reading your scorecard and it makes you want to cry because you played so bad, or, you know, it's just like funny golf things, golf jokes that you just put in, you know, into these reels and TikToks. And it's just a lot of fun. And then also interviewing and asking questions to the other women I'm playing golf with, you know, things like, hey, what'd you get at the halfway house today? And I go through each person. I mean, it's just silly shit like that, but it's fun to watch. And again, women that are also out there golfing, just like we are, it's so relatable because we're doing that. And unfortunately, you know, you don't see a lot of that on social media. You know, you see either the professional golfers, the male golfer, the golfer that's showing off her body, or the teaching pro. You know, you don't see the women that are just love the sport and are out there playing regularly. So I want to show that off. And I also do want to show us having a great time and encourage women to come out and play as much as we can, you know?
Yeah.
So that's really what inspires every piece of my content. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a teaching professional. So I steer clear of any technique advice, or, I mean, the advice I stick that I try and talk about are things I've learned in my personal experience, and it's more experience rather than technique as far as that's concerned. So that's where it all comes from, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense though. I mean, we have a similar philosophy in terms of how we even just started Grutter Golf, which was, we didn't see any golfers like us on the internet at the time when we started it. And it's just nice to be able to see yourself portrayed in any sport or hobby or whatever it is. And obviously golf was sorely lacking we like to say normal, but I don't think that really applies to us. But just like, so, you know, like the middle of the road golfer, right? Like, you know, you're not a professional, you're not on tour, you're not the other end of the spectrum, the scantily clad golfer.
Or even the ex-college player, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
No, that's not us. We started later in life. We love it.
Yeah.
Want to get better. Yeah.
It's very simple, very straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And all your stuff is so lighthearted too. You know, yeah. I think that we found you initially because somebody sent something and was like, this is, you guys are going to love her. And I was like, oh my God, I do love her. I wonder if we can be friends with her. I think would be remiss if we didn't bring up, so in a lot of your content, you have your like amazing rainbow closet that I think is probably every single golfer's dream. Just tell us about that. You know, you have great golf style. How did you find, were you challenged when you first started finding things you wanted to wear? Was that like, what's your kind of your golf fashion advice to people?
So here's a good here. Well, first of all, golf clothes can be expensive. Okay. Mm-hmm. But they also can last a long time. So what you see in that closet is years and years of collecting, you know.
It's amazing.
And so that's why people sometimes will give me a little bit of grief over it. And I'm like, listen, this is 10 years of collecting clothes. I mean, my size hasn't really changed that much in these past 10 years. So it's like, I've just been collecting and it's not, you know, when something looks dingy, you know, or it's a white top and it's turning yellow, I'll toss it. But other than that, they're in really good shape. So for the beginner golfer, I would always say stick to solids. If you're just starting to build your wardrobe, stick to solids and get, you know, the basic black, white, and navy bottom, and then get three tops. And then you just interchange them, you know, throughout the season, because it is expensive. But I wouldn't, you know, I encourage like the nice golf wear because it feels so much better and it really does last. You know, and same with the golf shoes. I mean, it's years and years of collecting shoes and they last. I mean, you wear them every once in a while. And so, you know, I love a lot of the clothes I wear too are not specific really to golf. You really have to kind of look elsewhere. You know, the golf industry for women's apparel is growing, which is great. But you still kind of have to get creative on other places to look. So I'm definitely still looking at Athleta and Lululemon and all those places for some good things to wear. Cause I like to look, I prefer to look like an athlete out on the golf course, you know, and that's kind of what I like to look like, you know, being athletic wear.
Athleta, I think, has some great stuff. I feel like that's a sleeper hit for golfers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I always forget about them. And then I'll see someone wearing something and that's usually where it ends up being from.
And also for the beginner golfer, just remember like collars are a yes. If it's sleeveless, make sure it has a collar. Most clubs, you know, if you have sleeves, then you don't need a collar. And, you know, maybe just make sure your shorts or skirt are not too short, you know.
Yeah.
I like to just do the bend over check, you know, when I'm putting, is my ass hanging out? No. Okay. I can wear this. You know, those technical things you have to do before you head out to the golf course. So
that the bend over check is one that I need to institute. I think that's a good one. So I don't know. Do we have, I think we should probably get to the Gruter Golf gripes. Unless we've got anything else.
Yeah.
So this is our recurring segment where you get to gripe about anything that you want. It could be in golf, you know, about something that you'd like changed or something that's just been grinding your gears lately, either on the course. It could be specific to a person, one person, or it can be, you know, the golf industry in general. But do you have any gripes that you'd like to share today?
No, you know what? The one thing that's kind of been the trend the past couple months on social media has been this ladies tees thing. I prefer it to be a forward tee conversation, not a ladies tee, and play whatever makes you happy. You know, I was with a friend the other day and she wanted to play a further back tee. She was at a course that wasn't her own. She was a guest. And the starter was pretty adamant that she play a more forward tee box. And, you know, that's the kind, I don't know why the tee box situation has been bothering me lately, but
you know, when you put yourself out to social media, you definitely get comments that, and the tee box thing, man, that comes up a lot.
I saw that. Was that like this week or something that somebody had commented and said, like, maybe every once in a while you should, you know, play from a different tee box? And you're like, yeah, I do. Like, shut up.
Yeah. So I just encourage women and men, really. I mean, just play the tee boxes that you want to. You're allowed to play any tee box that you want. And as long as you keep up pace of play, it really doesn't matter. So, that's my only gripe is anyone bagging on someone else for whatever tee box they're playing. So,
yeah, I mean,
and let's start the trend for forward tees too. It doesn't have to be
forward tees or the reds or whatever color they are, you know,
forward tees, red tees, whatever. But yeah, that's my only gripe right now. About.
Wow. You're so positive. I feel like we are constantly just filled with gripes. I'm like, oh, where do I start?
I know that's a very pleasant gripe too. I mean, it's obviously it's a real one, but you said it in a very pleasant way. So I'm fired up, but I'm not angry.
I mean, I could go down the whole rabbit hole of the boys club of it all, but I found an experience that it doesn't help anything right now. And, you know, especially in the environment that I have to be in every day.
Yeah.
All I can do is set an example and hope things change. But, yeah, it's a battle. I think change is coming, but it's definitely still old school out there, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So
yeah, feels hopeful though. You know, I feel like we, you know, the longer we kind of stay in this, the more we find, you know, people like you, that are, you know, kind of working towards a similar goal of kind of just like having, you know, equal representation in golf, you know, pulling up to a golf course and not being like, oh, I'm the only girl here.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So in a perfect world, you know, hopefully, I don't know, someday that will be the case.
I think so. We just can't be quiet about it. I mean, we do have to speak up when the time is right, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You
know, so.
Indeed.
And we'll start with forward tees.
Yeah.
Exactly. Start somewhere. Start by getting in the game. If you're listening to this and you know you're intimidated, don't be.
No.
Just pull up to that ladies' league and say, what's up? I'm here. I'm gonna cry. I'm here to bawl my eyes out.
I'm here at 7 a.m. I'm pissed off.
I'm not a morning person. I'm just gonna warn you. That's wonderful. Well, Tori, we really can't thank you enough for taking the time. And we were just talking, actually we talk offline about this, but, we might have some representation down at the PGA show if you're there. So that could be really fun.
I will be there.
But everybody, so you've got to check out Tori. She is at Tori Totless on, all social media and then competeconfidencegolf.com. Check it out. You know, if you don't know where to go when you're practicing, it seems like a really great place to go.
Yeah. I'm honestly feeling inspired. I think I might be.
I want to do it.
Enrolling. Yes.
Yeah, I want to do that.
Oh, program. Boy. I like it.
Yeah. All right. So, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Until we talk to you again, hang loose, swing easy, and we will see you later.
Bye. Lady, don't take no shit. Insist on respect the sister. Walk around like a womanish. She won't speak unless it's something worth saying. Don't play. The girl take herself so serious. People stare curious. She got a natural way. Her hips sway furious. Yet luxurious. Carries herself like the cutest, most prettiest thing you've seen this side of the bay. Go about her business so purposeful, like she got her razor sharp wit, and she just won't quit. Flaunting it, body built like a house made out of brick. She got the smile, the style, and finesse, compounded with a blessed, profound intellect. Select few have ever seen her butt naked, and they too want to see the rep protected. Cause she don't like violence, but she can throw them things, so don't let your guard down. Her thighs are sore, but her eyes are hard. I tell her, come on now. She digs into the days. Alice Walker, Nikki Giovanni, oh honey. Says she wanna be a doctor and not the someday. I'm sure she'll be digging somebody. Cool street smarts, girl, ain't no dummy. One economic empowerment, and it ain't about the money. The boys and gals both all star, act funny whenever the queen's coming around. Well, yeah. Sweet and tight, let them run. Out of sight, dynamite. With a freakish eye that you can't quite see, but you can't quite hide. And it lies in the gentle command of the night. Wherever you took my head, baby, send it home.
Send it, no, no. I really think I lost my head, cause it's females on the whole new throne. All the clerks wanna offer your help, all the folks compliment your stuff. A little children wanna jump in your lap, girl, I wanna do that myself. She ain't no innocent, little kitty jet. She's committing sins and ain't finishing. But because of her disposition, she ain't subject to criticism. That's why the other women started mimicking. She ain't tripping off no images. Her interests are all limitless. She ain't limited by inhibitions, Lord. Boundless imagination. She wants this idea off me, Jack. That had me out in space, somewhere just floating, not knowing the way back. You know I can't always fathom everything that you say about half the time.